This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
Good morning, Ira, for a second time. How are you doing, my friend?
So this means I get overtime now. I'm doing fine then.
There's that, you know, we can always get plenty of Ira. We never get enough Ira. So it's always a good thing when we have you on.
I wish my wife would say the same, Big O, but I'm glad you embrace me. So that's
good. Yes. I have the same issue, my friend. I have the same issue. She's like, really? Do you have to leave that studio? You can stay there. The other four rooms in the house will be just fine, you know? So yeah, I'm.
I got to tell you, because you remember, I really didn't travel for a year and a half. So it used to be with my wife, when you coming home. Now it's like, when you going on the road? So, you know, a trip to Indiana at the end of the week, next week to Brooklyn, not the end of the world. But this heat schedule to start the season is so road intensive that there's two ways to look at it. Of course, they're starting at home on Thursday against the Bucks. So do you want to sort of work the kinks out with the road games where you can load up on home games later? Or are you afraid it puts the record south and all of a sudden you're chasing yourself, so that the older players have to play a little bit more? So there's an immediate test for the Miami Heat this season. So road intensive from the get-go, a West Coast trip, the second week of the season where they go out to Denver, then they play the Lakers, they play the Clippers, they go out there, you know, they play the Suns. So it's going to be challenging for them at the outset. Are they ready? Do they have enough? You've seen what I've written at Ask Ira. I'm still concerned about backup point guard, because I'm always concerned about backup point guard. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. But I, you know what? To address that, I don't mind the tough start early on. Why? Because you've got a lot of veterans that are going to help this team, and those guys will be prepared for these kind of moments. If it was a really young team, mm-hmm. then I'd rather them start at home to build up the confidence. But I think a team like this, plus the ending of last season, I think adds a little spice to everything for them. I think it was a little bit of a wake-up call the way they ended last season, you know, because they probably thought a little higher of themselves. Now they ended up losing to the actual NBA champion, so right. It's, you know, not all lost. But I think a team this mature and still hurting from that first-round exit, I think it's all the motivation in the world to start strong. Plus, look at Tyler Hero. I think out of the young guys, he's the guy that's going to lead the charge and saying, man, I want to start strong and I want to establish myself right away.
You know, I would put it this way, and that's a very good point you made. I think every one of the Heat's young players is better. I think Bam Adebayo was better. He worked on his offensive inclinations. He worked on his body. Tyler Hero is clearly better because he hit the sophomore slump last year. Let's not argue about that. It's not debatable. Duncan Robinson is better because he figures out the game a little bit more every year in the league. Yes, teams are adjusting to him. Smart kid. He's adjusting to them. So you have that also. Max Strus is better, another one of the young players. So what you're doing is you're getting a nice maturation from your young players, and you're just telling your veterans, just be typically consistent. Be who you are, Kyle Lowry. Be who you are, Markieff Morris. Be who you are, PJ Tucker, and I think they'll be fine.
I'm with you. I'm with you there. Remember, you can follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat for those of you that are on the podcast listening to the interview. All right, Ira, just out of curiosity, Ira, and I know it happens a lot, mm-hmm. but when the Dolphins go in the shitter, do you notice more traffic on the Heat side, or does that not affect it whatsoever? I'm wondering because – you know, normally it's, all right, well, we'll wait for basketball season in January and February where things start to pick up a little bit. We'll focus on football. But the football teams are kind of out of the mix already as it is. So I'm wondering, when those kind of things happen, do you see more traffic on the Heat side because we've become such a basketball town?
You know, it's interesting, anger is a much stronger emotion than joy, unfortunately, in our society and for sports fans. So I think when people get fired up with their anger, you've seen it already from the comment section and some of the stuff you've read, that yes. remains pretty strong. So I think what's going to happen is the interest will wane on the football teams as soon as the season's over, when they realize all is lost. I think right now there's such a high degree of anger for both of our football teams in our market. that the interest there is pretty strong because people want an outlet to vent. They can vent here every day on the Big O Show. They can vent on your chat board. They can vent at the Sun Sentinel. They can vent at Omar Kelly. So I think short term, there's still that football interest because there's still that football almost vitriol at the moment about what's going on. The Heat, I think, eased into a little bit more. It used to be when the Dolphins weren't terrible. Pat Riley would tell us. He'd sit down there when he was coaching in January and saying, okay, it's our time now. This was all the warm-up. We understand. You had the Dolphins. You had the Hurricanes. You had your football season. Now we take over. We step to the fore. I think people have noticed the Heat a little bit more. I think people who were the 50-50s about going out, you know, to see the Canes play on a sweltering Saturday might go, yeah, I don't think so as much. I'll just be at home when the Heat game starts at night, you know, and a little bit more like that. So I think you see it grow, but I'm not going to lie. Just like, and you know this, because when we decided to start doing the show, you even told me we have to be on in the summer. We have to do the off season. Yeah. People want change. Free agency is sometimes bigger than the season. That's what people want. They want the personnel stuff. Even now, the Heat have not played a single game. They've had a good off season, but yet you see it, Ask Ira at SunSentinel.com. People, do we have enough for point guard? What's going on at power forward? We don't have enough depth there. So, I mean, fans, God bless them. They always want something more. They want something more when the Dolphins and Canes are craptastic. They want something more when the Heat are good but not great. So I think that's sort of the driver for the fans. It's not necessarily what you are now. It's their belief of what you could be next.
And by the way, Pat Riley has made us such a basketball town that our numbers, even when the Heat aren't in the playoffs, are great watching the NBA, the rest of the NBA. Yeah. So we've not only embraced our own team, we have embraced the entire sport, which again, that's just an incredible tribute to Riley and that organization.
And that's because you've established an interest. So in other words, sure, there's Lakers interest here. People here want to see LeBron James fail. They just do. Then you have Heat players who move on. Hey, what's Kendrick Nunn going to do with the Lakers? What's Trevor Ariza going to do? And also, at least when you're in contention, and I'll relate this a little bit more to the Canes, when you're in contention, the other teams matter. You want, say, the Nets when they're not playing the Bucks to lose. You want the Bucks to lose. You want to sort of, you know, of course, the Knicks always to lose. Just like the Canes, no matter even when they were mediocre at that height, we would stand there, look at the Coastal Division and say, okay, if Georgia Tech loses this, and I hope that North Carolina loses this because they're playing a team in the other division, so it doesn't matter. So that's what keeps your interest. When you're terrible, it doesn't matter. In other words, I'm a Giants fan. It doesn't matter what the Eagles or the Cowboys do. The Giants are just terrible, so that's over for me. So I think with the Heat, there's going to be a lot of interest, especially in the Eastern Conference, because, you've seen the Heat everywhere from number three in the East projected to some projecting them at number six or number seven. Today was fascinating. ESPN.com put their expert predictions. Now, some of the guys are just bloviators, so I don't even read what they say. They're just trying to make a point. But I think you would agree that Bobby Marks is among the most level-headed ESPN analysts. He gives you the numbers. He gives you the reasons. He's picking the Heat to go to the NBA Finals. He's picking the Heat possibly to win the NBA championship. He knows. He's a former Brooklyn Nets, New Jersey Nets executive. So when I saw that this morning, I was going, whoa, I only have the Heat for 45 wins this season. Maybe I'm a little bit off. There's such a wide projection on the Heat. I'm sure you'll see that in your chat also on your YouTube channel there, is that people are all over the place. We don't know. And matter of fact, I'm going to put it back on you because I like to interview the Big O twice a week here on the Acura Pembroke Pines Report. Regular season, which way do you think the Heat will go? Protect their players for the playoffs, even if it means a slightly lower seed, or screw it. We're the Heat. We had an offseason. We want to get the highest possible seed. We're going to push these guys. We only have three seasons of Kyle Lowry. That's why when I was doing my prediction, I originally thought, well, they have the look of a 50-win team, but will they try to be a 50-win team? And that's why I dialed it down a little bit.
Well, you know what? I hate to say this, but I think it's going to be a little bit of both. I think they've got to go balls out because they don't want to be at the bottom of that playoff bracket. So I think they got to go balls out and they got to go up top. Now, if it's a matter of killing yourself between 3, 4, and 5, maybe they'll say, you know, I'd rather rest somebody. But I think they're going to kill themselves to make sure they avoid six, seven, and eight is what I think they're going to
do. Yeah, and I hope that's the case. So it might be a matter of, like we talked about, get some wins early so you're not chasing your tail late. You and I know we were on the air. We were at the other station talking about when they played Boston the final week of the season, how they had to win both games. That was a lot of pressure on them. God bless them. They came through. They got the victories. Jaylen Brown was out for the Celtics. They avoided that number seven seed. Not that it helped. We're playing Milwaukee in the first round. And I think the lesson because of Milwaukee in the first round was don't get six either. They could be a pretty good team at three. It could be the Celtics. It could be the Sixers. And you'll be a road team also. So try to get at least to that 4-5. And, oh, you remember this. The Heat finished one game out of the 4-5. If they won one more game against the Hawks last season, they would have been home court. They would have been the number four seed. I think the line of the margin of error can still be this thin this season. Not just because the Heat are less than we think. I think the East is good. I think the Nets, screw Kyrie Irving. If you have a team with Kevin Durant and James Harden, you have a contender. If you have a team like Milwaukee with everyone but P.J. Tucker coming back, you have a contender. I personally think Boston upgraded by getting rid of Kemba Walker and getting rid of Evan Fournier, bringing in Al Horford, bringing in Dennis Schroeder, and the maturation of Tatum and Brown. I think Boston's going to be very good. My wild card in the East, I'll get into this a little more tomorrow on Pallet Rock City Inside the Paint with Clay Ferraro, is I'm not sure what to make of the Hawks. I'm not sure if all that talent is just a lot of stuff, you know, sort of a gumbo that tastes good together, or is it going to be Trae Young, so ball dominant, trying to be a star, that they don't achieve their team potential? Atlanta to me is the wild card. Atlanta to me could be three. Atlanta to me could be six. And the Heat are going to be fighting all those teams because of it. There will be so many meaningful games for the Heat. When we come on twice a week on our Acura Pembroke Pines report, you're going to tell me, Ira, big game against Milwaukee, big game against the Hawks, big game against the Nets, big game against the Celtics. And, oh, isn't that what you want? Compared to Dolphins, crappy game against the Hawks, crappy game against the Jets, there will be so many meaningful games for the Heat this season.
Yeah, I'm with you there. By the way, speaking of screw Kyrie, just out of curiosity, just what's your professional guess on this? Brooklyn and Milwaukee play tonight. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk about over the next couple of weeks that they're missing Kyrie because of all this vaccine mess. If they're not playing well and things are going bad, is there any chance that the frustration grows that much more against Kyrie because of, you know, I still think they're going to win a lot of games with those two stars and the team they have, because they do have a pretty good team and they've got some really nice role players actually around those guys. So I still think though, but what happens if things go awry in Brooklyn and Kyrie's, you know, in Kyrie's world?
You know, I think it's interesting though. Teams have so many specialists. They have strength and weight conditioning coaches. They have team nutritionists. They have analytic team people. I almost think the Nets need a team epidemiologist, and they need to read the tea leaves on COVID. Because what if the restrictions do ease in New York in December, in January? What if New York's new mayor comes up with a different plan where he says, hey, it's a private team, as long as you keep them away from the fans, keep them the hell away from the fans, you know, we can make it work. So I think the Nets have to read the tea leaves. I think the Nets have enough talent. It's older talent with Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, Paul Millsap. They can survive a month or two. So I think the Nets almost need a separate team on the side to say, okay, Kyrie's not getting vaccinated. You can call him obstinate. You can call him foolish, whatever you want. But will the rules change? Will the pandemic change? Is there another Delta out there? Or come, you know, we all hope, come January, February, there's such normalcy. New York says, you know what? We're going without the vaccination thing. That's what the Nets have to figure. Now, if it gets worse, and I'm not wishing that on anyone, then I think the Nets have to say, we can't waste this season. James Harden's getting a year older. Kevin Durant's getting a year older. Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Paul Millsap are aging by the hour. Then I think they consider a trade. I think the trade deadline, I think it's February 10th this year, will come at the perfect time. That's when the Nets can see, one, have they survived without Kyrie? Are they desperate without Kyrie? Have the rules of the COVID game changed? I think that's when they make a decision. The other part of it is because, I mean, this goes back for you and me since, I don't know, even before the soccer stadium. We were always talking about the flightiness of a Kyrie Irving and whether you would trade for him, because what are you getting? Because you have to say the next time there's a controversy, he's going to walk out of that room. Remember, he was trying to lead the walkout during the bubble. We all agree with the Black Lives Matter campaign and what it meant and the importance. And he was talked into it by the players saying, no, we'll stay here. We'll make a statement. That's how it played out. So he was ready to move on from basketball then. Then with COVID, he's ready to move on for then. So who's to say he doesn't find another cause? And when he finds his next cause, he walks out on his next team. I'd be really careful. I'd almost rather trade for Ben Simmons, because as much as he could be, I guess the word is petulant a little, I can deal with petulant. I brought in Anthony Mason. I made him work. I made him an all-star here with the Heat. Pat Riley did, so he could make that work. Man, a team that trades for Kyrie, you know, that's the ultimate example, Big O, of caveat emptor.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. And now that they're not going to give him that extension, you just wonder how much that relationship starts to sour overall.
It always sours the Kyrie. It soured in Cleveland. Right. It soured in Boston. It soured in Brooklyn. It soured at Duke when he barely played and left after the 1 year. So when doesn't it sour? And I know you're going to come in right now, because I know that you go to the temple of Pat Riley and you'll say, well, Pat Riley will make it different. I'm not so sure.
No, not with him. No, right. Not with him.
I'm not
with
so
Ben
sure
Simmons,
that this,
yes. Yeah. With Ben Simmons, yes, actually. I believe that the Heat are one of the few organizations that can kind of fix him. Not fix him to the point that he's shooting threes, but fix him to the point that he would shoot and shoot mid-range jumpers and nail free throws and things like that. I do believe that they can reach Simmons. I don't think anybody reaches Kyrie. Kyrie is in another plateau all by him. It's like, you know, somebody just brought up Kyrie and Kanye West about the same thing, you know, and I kind of get it. Not that I want to make fun of any kind of mental issues, but
exactly,
you know, there's something there with Kyrie that just doesn't jive. With Simmons, I think it's just a lack of maturity, actually. I think it's just he's afraid, you know. I think we all are afraid of all kinds of things in life. You know, becoming parents, you know, doing whatever it is that we do in life.
He has the basketball yips, you know, right now. He doesn't have the confidence. Confidence can be restored. Stability is a lot harder to restore. I agree.
Yeah. You know, it's a Willie Burton, you know, from back in the day. That was a young man that also kind of had his issues. What was that? There was a story that he like stood up on the bench one day in the middle of the game and said, the world is falling on me or something. And guys were kind of like freaking out. Like,
yeah, you know, thankfully, you know, mental health is in a lot different place right now. And the NBA has unbelievable programs, as do all the sports. And we have to give them credit for that.
Yeah,
also.
We didn't have patience in those days.
No,
those
we didn't know. They
were very insensitive.
There was a societal ignorance then that there isn't now. And the leagues are working more toward that. And that's the thing. Everyone is trying to embrace Kyrie, and they always have. Kevin Love came out, you know, with his mental illness and what it meant and what he would try to do when Kyrie was a teammate. It wasn't good enough. The Celtics reached out to him. The Nets have reached out to him. So at some point, also, you have to say, if someone's not going to accept that help, we've seen it in the NBA with the substance abuse recidivists. To a certain point, we just have to say, we try to help as much as we can, but we're also a business and we have to move on.
Ira, is there anything that we should know about for fans or anything in the arena this year? Have the Heat changed anything? It looks like it's a full go, full arena, everything else, right?
Yeah, it's a full go. There is no vaccine mandate because of where we live. There cannot be a vaccine mandate in the state of Florida. Right. There'd be fines for that. There is a mask mandate, except when you were eating or drinking at your seat. So, I mean, I'm going to be honest here. Oh, so if you're holding a cocktail, you're not going to have your mask on. So if people are sensitive to that, just know that you're in an indoor facility. They have the upgraded filters. They're doing what they can. They're basically trying to work with the best they can. Personally, I believe, based on his social media and how Mickey Arison has been such a vaccine advocate, if they could have a vaccine mandate, I believe the Heat would have one. But you can only fight City Hall, or in this case, State Hall, so much, and you just move forward. So I don't think this is a Heat thing. I think if the Heat could, there would be a vaccine passport for Heat games. Everyone feel more comfortable. But because of the state we're in and the state we're in, you just have to work with the best of the rules you can. I would say this. The Heat are doing the best they can. the Heat have opened their outdoor plazas. So for those who want to go out at halftime or during a break and get some fresh air and get away from it, the arena there, just like with the Panthers outdoor plaza, does afford you that also. So you can sort of get a break if you need to. But they're trying to work through it. So far, it's worked well in the preseason. We know the crowds will be bigger there. They're doing everything they can from what they're allowed to do.
Yeah, and of course, we have our folks that need a nicotine break, too. Ira, the injury list, is it just Oladipo going into
right
the game
now,
on
that's
Thursday?
The only injury. I'm headed down to practice in a few minutes. Markieff Morris, Dwayne Dedman, Udonis Haslam missed practice yesterday due to illness. Of course, the first thing you ask is COVID. The NBA very much, if it's COVID-related or protocol, has to say that in the injury report. The Heat have not said that. They just said cold-like symptoms, so they have done their check. I would expect all of them to be available, with the Heat only carrying 16, being able, including their two ways, having to keep more than 15 in one more inactive. That'll be Victor Oladipo. And that'll be something now that you and I will start tracking more on a regular basis, because Victor Oladipo is so instrumental in this. If Victor Oladipo comes back at 75% Victor Oladipo, to me, it changes everything. If Victor Oladipo doesn't come back, then I think come the trade deadline, you might need that one more scoring defensive wing piece. So we really wait on Vic, pretty much just doing shooting, running through some light drill work. I saw him on the elliptical yesterday. He's working hard, but no real basketball stuff yet to this point.
Dude, I love you, because you just led me right into the question that I wanted to ask you. So we wrap it up here. So Heat fans will know, since you're always concerned about the backup point guard and all those kind of things, you just mentioned it right now. If the Heat want to, need to, desperately need to make a trade at some point later on in the season due to whatever happened to their team, what is the flexibility that Miami has? What are the options that Miami has in order to make some kind of a trade?
Well, obviously they could trade a future pick. They have future seconds going out now, depending on the tampering thing and what the league takes away or doesn't. Adam Silver said yesterday that's ongoing, said there's no new update. Tax-wise, they will be in a much better position about midseason or so to add a 15th standard player on the roster. So it could be as simple as a Jeff Teague who's out of a game, another point guard who gets waived, Isaiah Thomas. The short Isaiah Thomas is still out there. That's a possibility.
And again, he scored 80 points in a pickup game the other
exactly.
day.
Exactly. And also, all the free agents who signed in the offseason cannot be traded until December 15th. Duncan Robinson had such a huge raise, he can't be traded until January 15th. So the flexibility will be there later in the season. The Heat will get a read. I think for now they're going to play Tyler Herro more as a backup point guard. I was strongly against that to start camp, but he's been doing such a really good job. I was wrong. And maybe that's the answer. Look, I am an advocate in today's positionless basketball of get your best players on the court. So if you're getting more Tyler Herro and no Gabe Vincent and it gets your best nine players on the court, I have no issue. We know they're going to start with Adebayo, with P.J. Tucker, with Butler, with Robinson, and with Lowry. We're figuring the next three off the bench are Markieff Morris, Tyler Herro, and Dwayne Dedman. Sure as heck looks like right now the ninth man is Max Strus. So if you're not going more than nine deep, I want to play my nine best players if I can, contain opposing point guards. We shall see.
The Strus is loose.
Very much
all right, so.
Had a good preseason, yeah.
All righty. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, that is Ira Winderman. Ira, last night I had a little action on the Miami Heat. I took the points. I felt confident about the Miami Heat. But holy crap, I didn't expect a 40-point blowout, my brother. I mean, that was beautiful last night.
Or should you have expected it after what the Bucks did in their first visit last year when they were beaten 4-1 by the Heat in the 2020 Eastern Conference semifinals? So maybe we know that revenge is real in the NBA. Maybe we've learned that you can have that chip on your shoulder. And that's one thing. You know this, Big O. This team is sort of built to a fervor pitch when it goes out there. This goes back to P.J. Brown flipping Charlie Ward during the height of Heat Knicks. I mean, when they get these guys like a bunch of cage dogs, they call it the kennel this season, you can see that. It's going to be so much fun, because I think in the biggest games this season, you're going to see the biggest moments from the Heat. Now, You might be talking to me next week on the Acura Pembroke Pines Report on Tuesday and going, Ira, what the hell happened against the Magic? Because we know also they can play down to their opponents.
Yeah.
But I think their national TV games, I think the games that they have circled, I think are going to be special this year because this is a hungry team. This is a team that was, and I use this word, you know, sort of cautiously, but still, that was humiliated at the end of last season. So I think they got a lot of points to make. I think it started last night. I think you will see in their other big upcoming games, maybe when they go out to LA and play the Lakers on national TV, they want to sort of check a bunch of boxes and say, hey, last year was the year coming out of the bubble. No off season, COVID, Jimmy missing 20 games. We're the Heat and we're back. That was a hell of a way to start.
Yeah, no, but remember, Milwaukee embarrassed the Nets two nights before because I watched that game. And so to me, I expected the Bucks to give you, and I know Jrue Holiday and
that's big.
And Portis was out and all
that's
that.
That's big.
But yeah. I expected them to give them a game. And, you know, what made me really happy yesterday, Ira, is that the defensive disposition is back.
Yeah.
And this team did not really have it.
And you know where it starts.
What the stats tell you the last couple
of
years.
And you know where it starts. Give me the name where it started. It was kind of obvious to me.
PJ.
Yeah, I mean, PJ, you know, it's funny because it seems like anyone named PJ for the Miami Heat is going to be a defensive dog.
Right.
And it's really, like, I was thinking about this yesterday because, you know, I like to write a bunch of silly stories also is depending on what PJ Tucker does, you and I at the end of the year might be having this debate on greatest PJ in Heat history. Certainly, yeah. P.J. Brown on those big series with the Knicks, you know, did a lot of damage. But, you know, they never made it to the NBA Finals. If that becomes different, you can see it. Yeah, again, P.J. Brown only scored 8 points and had the best plus-minus on the team yesterday because of the way he defends, his catalyst for energy. Oh, look, I'm not going to sit here because people archive the Big O Show. I know a lot of your listeners, all they'll do is go back over old shows all weekend. So I was the one who came out and said, I'm not sure PJ Tucker is the ultimate answer for this team because of his lack of offense. And then PJ put it in my face last night. And then you could see whether it was Giannis Antetokounmpo, Mike Budenholzer, or Eric Spoelstra talking about it after the game, how he was a catalyst there. He's a special, unique player. You do not want him on your fantasy team, but him on your basketball team.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. And one of the things that not only did having the defensive disposition is back, which is the heart and soul of this franchise and what Riley has established. But the other thing that I like, and it's something that I've been talking to you about for the last couple of months, that this team needs to be powered offensively by its young guys, defensively by its veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to the playoffs, then the veterans can take over a little bit more offensively. But yesterday, having Bam and Tyler take it to another level the way they did, those two guys, and Duncan didn't have that kind of game that
right.
you normally would want, but still, you know, when what was it, Duncan 9 points, 8 points yesterday, that still puts you, you know, at what is it, 50 something, what is it, 50, what is it, 65 points or something between the three guys.
And that's the thing, and that's the thing though, I think it was almost good that Duncan didn't have a great game because you can
right.
add that. And
right.
so look, we all want to say the nine players in the rotation, you want them to all play well, but we know the reality. It's just like we listen for hours on end to the Big O Show, but there's a clunker in there every now and then.
That's right.
You know, there might be an off hour. So you know what? If you can get a majority of the young players to play well, so maybe in Indiana on Saturday, it's Duncan Robinson with 8 3-pointers. It's not Tyler Hero as much. But you're right. This is a long grind. PJ Tucker, 36. Kyle Lowry, 35. Jimmy Butler, 32. Markieff Morris, 31, 32. You need to get those youthful legs during this part of the season, during the dog days at the middle of the season, and then let the other guys take over. I spoke to Bobby Marks this week from ESPN. He was the lone ESPN expert to have the Heat in the NBA Finals and winning an NBA championship. And I spoke to him and I said, you know, what I've said to you on the show from the Acura Pembroke Pines report for weeks is this is a team built for the playoffs. How do you get through the regular season? And Bobby Marks is really interesting. He told me, I don't know if I agree with this. You'll see it in Sunday's Sun Sentinel. He thinks that he'd have the best starting five in the Eastern Conference. Certainly Brooklyn, Milwaukee might disagree. He thinks that
I think he, because he's saying offense and defense.
Right, two ways.
He's measuring He's measuring as complete players.
He's looking
at
both ways.
Thing.
And he also said, let's be honest, your playoff rotation is eight players. So from what the Heat have, you can cobble together those eight. Dwayne Dedman was very good last night and good in the minutes when the game still mattered. This wasn't Omar Yurtseven coming in a garbage time and padding his stats. This was a guy with a meaningful, tough guy moment, which when Brook Lopez is there will be more meaningful. So when I spoke to Bobby, he basically said, you get through the regular season with this team. He told me, no, I don't expect the Heat to be the number one, maybe even the number two seed. But I feel comfortable about them in the playoff setting. And again, this is what I said at the beginning here on our Acura of Pembroke Pines report, is that I think the Heat at the big moments will step up. Kyle Lowry's not going to let himself be embarrassed on national TV. Jimmy Butler, after last season's playoffs against the Bucks, is not going to allow himself to be embarrassed. And Bam Adebayo just knows one thing, and that's to play hard and go hard. So he'll always be there for you. So, yes. Just one game. No Drew Holiday. No Bobby Portis. No Brook Lopez. You know, plenty missing. No Rodney Hood. But screw that. There'll be plenty of games when the Heat doesn't have someone, and other teams will go, hey, it was a big victory. You take it, you move on, and after the way last season started with that poor start, after the way it finished being blown out of four games by the Bucks, a very important moment, just like it's been for the Florida Panthers to get off to that good start. Because you can talk the talk all you want, Big O, in the preseason and offseason of how good you're going to be. Show it to me. Make an opening statement. That's what they did. What the Heat have to do next is, against the shorthanded Pacers, with no TJ Warren, no Caris LeVert, they have to win Saturday in Indy. Then they have to come home Monday and kick the butt of the god-awful Orlando Magic. Then when I talk to you next Tuesday on this report, we can talk about, just like the Panthers, you're setting the tone in your first week.
Yeah. I think and obviously Jimmy looks around and he goes, now I see some sons of bitches like me.
Some dogs. Yeah. In the kennel. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And I think the kind of games like Orlando that would take this, that this team would kind of, you know, like, it, you know, let it slip by with these kind of dudes on this team. Those kind of games aren't going to slip by nearly as much anymore.
I hope not. There is a natural letdown, but I hope you're right, Big O, because you can't. You cannot lose to the Magic, the Pistons, and the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference this year because everyone else is good.
At the end of the year, those are the games you're looking at.
Washington is better. They're deeper now with Montrezl Harrell. You look at Chicago, and they're deeper now with Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso and what they picked up. The Knicks are still going to be a tough out as long as they have Tom Thibodeau. The Hornets, we see what they can be now with LaMelo and Gordon Hayward coming back and Rozier. Don't let the easy ones slip away. They'll be tough ones. Charlotte comes in next week. The Heat go to Brooklyn. So it'll be different. There will be tough ones along the way as well.
Now, any truth that you will be going to the next game at the FTX Arena in a LaMelo Ball type suit and Lamborghini?
I don't know if I can ever...
I heard your neon is more, I think it's green instead, or yellow. I don't know which one.
I mean, it's funny. Remember the old Heat games when Banana Man used to show up? It almost looked like Banana Man in that classic yellow. You know, and to people who haven't seen the picture, remember those yellow raincoats we all used to wear to school as kids with the yellow hood? That's basically what Ball showed up to Charlotte season opener. But you know what? If you can back it up, I have no issue with that.
They were down by 23, dude.
Look at how P.J. Tucker dresses. But you know what? You can talk the talk and walk the walk if you can play the play, and both of those guys have done it. So you can wear whatever the hell you want, including Jimmy with his headband and cut off. I mean, Jimmy Butler showed up in his post-game press conference yesterday basically in jorts. Well, you know what? You get to wear jorts after you have a big game and only play half the game. So you know what? Fashion statements for someone else. I'll keep it simple. But I certainly can appreciate the moment.
I'm with you there. All right, Ira, you know what was really nice also? That the Tyler Hero we saw in the preseason translated to game one. He looked like the same Tyler that we saw, the dude that looks focused, the dude that his jumper's looking super sweet. I mean, that bang-bang play to end the first quarter with the Struces loose, getting the block, and then Tyler getting the three. I mean, that alone right there, that was like the highlight of the night right there. You know, and that was beautiful Heat right there. A defensive play and then the explosive offensive play. But it was really nice to see Tyler.
You know, I relate this to something close to home to you. It's a lot easier to just do what you do best and not worry about the ancillary stuff. Not worry about having to build an entire station, keep a certain franchise in town happy, get everything set up, take care of protocols. So basically, just like you sit here, you do your show for hours every day, and that's it. Tyler's being told, do one thing, like you. Do the thing you do best. Get buckets. Worry about nothing else. Kyle will handle the playmaking. We'll take care of everything else. You just get buckets. And that's what we're seeing. And oh, you know this. I've spoken to you since, you know, we started here at the station, that if you can get Tyler Hero to be like a Jamal Crawford, like a Lou Williams going back in our day, like a Vinnie Johnson, be a microwave, that's what you need. Because for as much as the Heat can talk about defense and that dog mentality, the NBA is a league of scoring. Teams lose games scoring 110, 115 points these days. Your offense has to come somewhere. Pat Riley can talk all he wants about his Alonzo Mourning days. 89, 82 ain't happening anymore. And if it does, it's a score at the end of the third quarter.
One of the beautiful things also last night for the coach was he didn't have to play guys a lot of minutes. Yes. He was able to use 86 people off his bench.
We saw Marcus Garrett's NBA debut. We saw everyone but Udonis. I like how Spo said, as long as they're chanting his name, that's enough. He doesn't have to get out there. He's not going to put UD in a garbage minutes. He's not going to put UD in when he's not warmed up. There will be UD moments this season where Eric Spoelstra might have to say, hey, we're shorthanded. PJ's not playing tonight. UD, fire yourself up. Be ready. You might be on call. Everyone else got in, and that's what it should be. And again, they had a 9-man rotation. So let's move past the starters who all played well. Dwayne Dedman played well. Tyler Hero played well. Yeah. You just mentioned Max Strus played well. And you know what? Markieff Morris, as I wrote at the Sun Sentinel, as he still gets in Heat shape, he played well also. So if you can get that from those nine, we don't have to worry about the 10th man. We don't have to worry if Gabe Vincent can be a backup point guard. We don't have to worry if Kaze Akpala can be an NBA player. And here's the beauty of the possibilities. Imagine last night's game and last night's rotation with Victor Oladipo. There is such a carrot coming up for the Heat that any other team, if they want to get better, they're going to have to make a trade. They're going to have to find a player on the buyout deadline. They're going to have to shake up their roster. For the Heat, it just might be a matter of time. Maybe December, maybe January, maybe February, but still it's there. And like you mentioned, you saw him on the bench. You see him every day. How tantalizing is what we saw yesterday with the Heat plus anything close to Victor Oladipo? That's really fascinating.
The only thing, I don't mean to be cynical on all of this, but it's hard for me to completely get excited about Depot because of his history.
Yes, all the setbacks. I agree with that. But you know what?
Here's the only problem.
Here's the difference, though. You're not looking for him to come in and be a starter. You're not looking for him to come in and play 40 minutes where Houston had to have that. Where Indy, the way they were built at times, had to have that. You're saying
or the last setup of the Heat.
Where there was no one else and Tyler was struggling and he had to be the guy and there was no Kyle Lowry and Goran was getting older. Man, 15 minutes of Depot-like Depot-ing and it takes you to another level. You know what? The Victor Oladipo was 75% Victor Oladipo come the playoffs. I'm putting the Heat up there with the Bucks. I'm putting the Heat up there with the Nets. Not yet, but I would if that happens. That could be a difference maker. How nice is it to have someone like that in the wings? That's happening, that we're not talking about the trading deadline. Will the Heat make this deal? Who are they going to get? Who are they going to get might just be right in front of them with the beauty of being on a minimum scale contract.
You know, I was thinking about this last night, and I don't mean to get ahead of myself because it's only game one.
Sure.
But I do expect this team to have a really good season as it is. And I do expect this team to be really sexy in the second half of the season. This always happens, Ira. Buyouts, teams that are going to have players that are going to, you know, pretty good players that,
I know where you're going. Throw me the name.
No, I'm not going to throw any names, but I'm just saying I think the Heat is also going to have not just Depot, but an opportunity at adding another veteran that is going to leave a terrible situation, and that team is going to buy him out to do him the favor and get him out. and give them an opportunity.
And look.
I'll let you do the rest.
And the name got mentioned when David Aldridge of The Athletic put out the name. He's covered Washington sports for years, of John Wall. And obviously John Wall has an untradeable contract. Now, Houston's not just going to let him walk out the door before the trading deadline, because who knows? Something might come up. They probably won't let him walk out the door before the buyout deadline, because who knows? They might be able to use that money in some sort of facilitating. But come March 1st, there's no reason for John Wall, who will be at the end of his contract, who will be the shape right there going into oblivion, basically, not to work out a buyout, not to get to a playoff team. He works out in off seasons in South Florida, like every NBA player. He has a place down here. It makes sense. So then you could say to yourself, well, either Victor Oladipo or John Wall, but you're right. This has always been a place that has gotten players, Dwayne Dedman last season, who say, you know what? I want to make a run with this team. Historically, there's always been a guy at the end of the season who wants to be part of this. Winning draws players in. So if the Heat have that kind of record and they are a team that's, you know, on sort of the upswing right there, yeah, I think there'll be at least one buyout player. They have a little money under the tax right now. They can create more in a trade, moving Casey Akpala if they have to. Believe me, Pat Riley is never done building. And when he knows he has a contender, who knows, they might even go into the tax.
All right, wrapping it up, Indiana tomorrow night. Yes. Key in that game.
Well, they got Indy on the second night for Indy of a back-to-back. That should help. Again, you're getting Indy now when they're a little bit shorthanded. Yes, they have Miles Turner, but Bam has always thought he was better than him. Wasn't happy that Miles Turner was selected over him for the World Cup a couple of years ago. So he has that going on. Domantas Sabonis, you know, can the Heat find PJ Tucker to sort of lock him up? But again, you got to make statements. This is an advantage game for you when it comes to being rested. Heat are off today, flying up to Indiana. And then that Orlando game. And I almost find that to be a bigger game than anything. It's a home game. It's against a crappy team. There can't be a letdown there. We need to be talking next Tuesday back on the Acura of Pembroke Pines report about a 3-0 Miami Heat. Anything short of that, I think would be, as odd as it sounds, disappointing.
Enjoy the St. Elmo's steak, my brother.
I got long sleeves, 42 degrees. It's happening. It's real, Big O.
Yeah, but I don't feel sorry for you. I love that place. I love going to downtown Indy. It's a great little downtown.
Although, as you know from St. Elmo's, if I eat too much of the horseradish sauce for the shrimp cocktail, I might not have a voice next week, so we will see. So maybe I'll bring home a bottle for you.
Have you ever fooled somebody with the stuff? I've done it several years.
Every time someone has it.
Unfortunately, we got Sean now on with us, and he's listening, so I can't sucker his ass when I take him to the combine next year.
Cocktail sauce. I've had the Heinz cocktail sauce. It's fine. Oh, my God. My tongue will be burning for a month. Yeah, absolutely.
And your eyes are crying and everything.
Crazy stuff.
It is so awesome.
Catch you again on Tuesday, O.
That's right. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heat Beat. Safe travels, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, O.
You got it.